To him. You're not alone. Just cry out to Jesus.
Flood comes flowing down at the cross. Things that you pour out on each and every one of us. Lord, I thank you for meeting our needs and daily providing for us and keeping us safe and giving us wisdom and, Lord, just so many things that you do for us. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for them. I ask, Lord, this morning, I know there's many in our church that are sick or not feeling well, dealing with different issues. I think specifically of Bob Wagner this morning. Lord, just pray that you would touch him and minister to him. Lord, heal that body of his. Lord, you know he's been through so much, so much, and yet we continue to lift him before you and trust that you will minister to him once again and heal his flesh, Father God. Lord, so many others within the church struggling in different ways. And Father, we just pray that you would encourage them this morning. Strengthen them this morning. Give them wisdom. Lord, let them know that you are right there beside them. Indeed, they are not alone. You're there to wrap your loving arms around them, to hug them, to encourage them, to give them peace. And I pray to that extent this morning, Father. Be with us as we read from your word and as we spend time together with you this morning now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have indeed reached a dividing point in our look at the Ten Commandments that we are walking through. We've not yet quite hit the halfway mark, but this is the place where the commandments start to make a shift, or do make a shift. They don't start, they make a shift at this point. So far, we have looked at those first four commandments, and they are all about Yahweh, the one true living God. See, he firmly establishes who he is and what he expects from us, his creation, and how he wants us to honor him. Let's read those first four this morning. Exodus chapter 20, starting at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your sons or daughter, nor your maidservants or manservants, nor your animals, nor the aliens within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. These first four commands indeed speak to our relationship with God and just what that relationship is to look like. In the book of Deuteronomy, which by the way, Deuteronomy means repetition of the law. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses not only repeats those Ten Commandments as God gave them to us, but he spells out the importance of them. And he teaches the Israelites the position that these commandments should have in their daily lives. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Total and complete surrender. That's what God was asking of the Israelites. Every fiber of their being was to love and serve the Lord their God, or Yahweh. These are the same words that Jesus spoke in the New Testament to us, the New Testament church. Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 37. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees here. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. All four of those Old Testament commandments were wrapped up in that one statement, in that clear, simple statement that Jesus himself spoke to the New Testament church. Again, our talk, our discussion is about not only the Ten Commandments, but how they still apply to us today. Jesus brought them all around for us, the New Testament church. This statement about loving the Lord, about serving Him, this ought to be the motto of our lives. Because if it's not, if those first four commandments don't mean anything to us, if that's not what we focus in on and strive for, then the rest of the commandments really don't matter. Tear them out, throw them away, cross them off your list. Because if the love of God is not the drive within our lives, then nothing else we do carries any weight or holds any meaning to it. Our relationship with God and conforming to that relationship that He has called us to has got to be first. The first four commands, Yahweh is God alone. Nothing we could ever make or envision could ever represent Him. His very name should bring holy fear to our hearts and lives. And setting time aside is unbelievably important to that rejuvenation within Him. All of those equate to loving our God with all of our heart and soul and mind. Before we make the transition to the remaining commands, let's look at a couple of New Testament scriptures that again remind us of this love that we are to have for our God. John chapter 14 and verse 21 says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." John chapter 14 and verse 15. "If you love me, you will obey what I command." 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Now that we have a pretty clear understanding of the major importance, honestly, of those first four commands, now we'll move on to the next half, and we'll take a peek at each of those remaining six commands. This morning, we start with number 5, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." No question that today we probably see this command through different eyes than what the Israelites did, how they saw this command. Honestly, they had an amazing respect for older people. Sadly, I'm not sure that we have that same respect today that we should, but they had an amazing respect. For example, we just read that commandment, honor your father and mother. Shortly after that commandment, we read these words in Exodus 21:15. "Anyone who attacks his father or mother must be put to death." Anyone who attacks his father or mother must be put to death. Rebelling against your parents was not taken lightly. Very clearly, pretty straightforward, they were put to death if they attacked their parents. Those that lack respect for their parents often lack respect for others in general. That is typically what can be seen by those who lack respect for their elders, their parents specifically. We can read some other instructions throughout Scripture as well regarding respect for the older and wiser that are among us. Leviticus 19:32 says, "Rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord." Excuse me. There was much for the older to teach the younger. Biblically, during the Israelites' time frame, most of those older had some sort of first-hand experience, some sort of first-hand encounter with the Lord that they could pass on. Of course, we're talking about New Testament times here when Jesus walked the earth. They had an experience that they could pass on and share with their kids because they met face-to-face with the Son of God. They could account word for word what took place and share that with the younger generations. And for that alone, there should have been a great deal of respect given to them. That was a precious gift to have that firsthand experience. Back to Deuteronomy. Here again, we read the importance of or what happens when people disrespect or dishonor their parents, and the whole community knew about it. Deuteronomy 27:16. "Cursed is the man who dishonors his father and his mother." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." See, the society, the people around them, they knew, they understood, they agreed with the importance of honoring their parents. Not only was the offender cursed, but the people, the community would confirm that curse with their amen. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke briefly about this, and we said it was not uncommon for many generations to live together under one roof. See, back in 60 AD, there was no nursing homes or retirement communities or senior living centers that people could spend time in. Families stayed together, and they cared for, they took care of one another. The commandment to honor your father and mother was held in high esteem and incredible importance to them. What does it mean to honor someone? Is it the same as obeying or respecting them? Honor is an internal attitude of reverence, which should be displayed in our external actions. And even as they all live together in their one home, that's what the younger generations would be able to do to the older generations as they cared for them. And those older generations would pass down wisdom and encourage those younger generations. So honor is an internal attitude. The external actions are the things like respect and obedience. Let me remind you that Jesus is one who always looks at the heart. The actions are not as important to him as the heart behind the actions. So he is looking at the heart. In the Old Testament, the command to honor our father and mother is recorded twice. Once in Exodus, when God gave those commands to Moses, and the second time in Deuteronomy, when Moses repeated the law to the Israelites. So what about the New Testament? What do we see of this command specifically in the New Testament? Well, unlike the Old Testament, this command is not recorded twice in the New Testament. But it is, in fact, recorded six times within the New Testament scripture. The first time it's quoted in two of the Gospels, and it's dealing with the Pharisees and their desire to uphold tradition over the commandments. You'll find it in Matthew 15:4. For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. Again, you'll see it in Mark 7:10. For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. Again, dealing with the Pharisees and truly their disobedience. The second time this shows up is recorded in three of the different Gospels. And this time it's it's being directed at that rich young ruler. When he starts to ask about what must I do to be saved and what commandments must I follow, it says this, Matthew 19:19, honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. Mark 10:19. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And in Luke 18:20, we see a similar text here. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. Each of those five scriptures that we just read are all spoken by Jesus himself as he is repeating the importance of that command. He's telling the leaders to obey the commandments, and he is instructing the seekers, or the rich young ruler, he is instructing them both to obey the commandments. God's desire, God's plan for each of us is to respect the elderly, and specifically our parents in this case. There's a third application in the New Testament, and it comes in the book of Ephesians, as Paul there gives a great deal of instructions on how we are to live as children of God. If you read through Ephesians, you'll see him talking about being one in Christ, living as children of the light, how husbands and wives should respect each other and treat each other. And we read about honoring our parents in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. There's four words I want you to notice in that particular text, and they are these. For this is right. That's what he says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. This is not a matter of debate. It's not a matter of opinion. Obeying and therefore honoring our father and mother is the right thing to do. As hard as it might seem, there is no section of scripture anywhere that tags on unless they treated you poorly or unless they did something you don't like. It calls us to honor our mother and our father. Where we are actually called to honor people in general, and that's what the other commandments that we will address going forward are going to talk about. As we read through these last six commandments, it's all about honoring people, is really what it comes down to. But regardless of what we might think We are commanded to love. We are commanded to honor our father and mother. That fifth commandment, as noted in Ephesians 6, it says it comes with a promise. Originally, it was stated this way, back in Exodus, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. When Paul said it, we read this, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Paul's words are a mirror of Moses' words in Deuteronomy. When Moses repeated the law to the people, he phrased that commandment this way, Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Why? We don't know the exact reason why there's that slight phrase changing in Deuteronomy. Why did Moses say those couple extra words in Deuteronomy when he reinstated or read the law to the people? We're not sure. But those few extra words do bring some more clarity to this command. We do, first of all, have to look at the complete text, the complete nature of this command. Like the fact that the parents were instructed to raise their children correctly, so that they might have the same holy fear that they themselves were to have. Parents were called upon to teach their children all that God had done. They were told to show their children and the following generations what was right. It's the parents' role to nurture their children's relationship with God. And when that piece is in place, then responsibility moves to the child to accept and to obey those teachings. And in doing so, the child honors the parents and the child honors the blessing of the covenant, which is then poured out on each individual. While the exact number of days in one's life are not really disclosed here, the inference to a life that is blessed all the days that they are on earth is what's talked about here. Honor your father and mother, and all the days that you are on earth will indeed be blessed. Interesting enough, Paul also speaks to the idea of what things might look like when the commands are not followed. So Paul encourages us to honor our father and mother, just like the Old Testament talks about. But then he tells us what things will look like, and that partially includes dishonoring or disobeying our parents. We can find this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. It reads this: "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them." Sadly, this depicts our world way too well today. You know, there's even a phrase in here at the end that I read, having a form of godliness. Do we understand what that means? That implies that some people will claim to be spiritual. Some people will claim to be religious or churchgoers or even Christians, yet they will live the way Paul talked about in these verses we just read, having a form of godliness but denying its power. I got to tell you, reading through this list just reminds me of how horrific conditions are in lives that are lived this way. And partially, it comes as the family continues to dissolve around us. In some way, the disobeying of our parents, the destroying of the family unit and the home that we know it to be, or that we know it's supposed to be, is all a part of what these end times are going to look like. And I got to tell you, the enemy is thrilled when a family unit falls apart. Why? Because it's a piece of these last days and how people are going to live. Honoring our parents, honoring our father and mother, it's so much more than just a simple statement found in Exodus. It's the first in a series of commands about how we are to treat other people, about how we are to love others. All the rest of the commands, as we will see over the next few weeks, have to do with the way we treat other people. And it all starts with our parents. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Father, we come before you this morning, and we have to ask for forgiveness, Lord. Some of us have not treated our parents the way we're supposed to. Some of us have come up with excuses as to why we don't need to treat our parents with honor and respect. God, forgive us. Lord, as a nation, as a whole, we have done a terrible job of honoring our parents, honoring our elders. God, help us to change. Help us to be different. Help us to understand the importance of this commandment and the promise that comes with it, Father God. Lord, help us to learn the respect that so many deserve and the respect that others are not getting. God, change our hearts. Change our lives, Father God. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessing and for ministering to our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.